Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
For this morning's message, if you wish to follow along, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read the first two verses of this chapter where the Apostle Paul writes these words. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote, or a part of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the local assembly at Corinth. And it's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. My title, of course, for this morning is found right here in the context. The title is this: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to start by asking you a question. If you happen to be up on this at this early hour on this Lord's Day morning, I have a question I want you to ask yourself and think about the answer to this question. Of all the preachers that you see on TV, or all the preachers that you hear on the radio, how many simply preach Christ? How many of them simply have Christ as the sum and substance of their message? How many of them have Christ's person, that is, who He is, and Christ's work, that is, what He accomplished when He came to this earth, when He came to do the will of the Father? All the preachers on TV, all the preachers on radio, all the preachers on the internet, how many simply preach Christ? Yes, there are many subjects in Scripture. There are no doubt thousands of different things that need to be dealt with. Some things we are to stand for, some things we are to stand against, but all of these things must have as their sum and substance the preaching of Christ. This is what Paul said. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's another way of Paul saying I'm preaching the gospel of Christ, the testimony of God. For I determined, Paul had it set within his heart and mind, I determined not to know anything among you except, that's what the word saved means, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So again, I ask, of all the preachers that you hear, TV, radio, online, how many just preach Christ's person and work to you? How many of them do so and never beg you for money? How many of them simply preach Christ and His person and work and never ask you to join their mailing list? How many of these preachers that you listen to plead with you to attend their services? How many of these preachers do you hear that you maybe listen to, that rather than boasting about themselves, bragging about themselves, bragging about their church, or bragging about their denomination, how many of them, rather than doing these things, that's asking you for money, begging you for money, how many of them plead with you to join some mailing list or maybe get on some prayer list? How many of them plead with you to attend their services or just sit around and, rather than bragging about themselves, they just try. They try with all that's within them. They try to simply preach the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, of all the churches you know, how many men that are preaching try to lay great stress on just a few things: praying to God, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God, and primarily all of that has the preaching of Jesus Christ and His person and work as the central thing. If you know of one, if you do, you are blessed. You are blessed. Most churches, And I do not say this to try to criticize, but this is a warning. Most so-called churches are social centers of entertainment. These social centers of entertainment are there to, most, it's sad to say, I don't like having to say this, but most of them are social centers of entertainment. They are places, as my late pastor Earl Cochran used to say, they're places where people come together to brag on one another about how good they are. And these social centers of entertainment usually play to the egos of men and women, and men and women who are sadly stuck on the broad road of destruction. Think about that. Consider Paul's words. Consider the words. Consider what Paul was actually saying, what Paul actually meant when he wrote the words of our text. And he didn't just write them, but he felt that way. When he first came to Corinth, he said again, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." It is not the glory of that which pleases God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The glory of that is not in the eloquence of the speaker. It's in the fact that the Spirit of God moves this clay pot to speak the truth of God in Christ and not lie. To tell the truth to men and women about who God is and who these men and women are. And he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except," that is, save, "Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Consider the astounding statement that he's just made. Think of it in the light of the context of this city of Corinth. Now, there's a lot of history that we have about Corinth in that day, but I don't want to deal with man's writings on Corinth. I want to look at just, first of all, try to be brief on this. Three things about the city of Corinth that ought to arrest our hearts and minds when we see these three things, and yet we see Paul saying, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, if you're following along, turn to Paul's second letter, his second epistle to the church at Corinth, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read a few verses here. And in this passage, 2 Corinthians 11, the verses I will read, Paul is dealing with money. He's dealing with those things that are necessary for the everyday common walk of life. But look at what he says, and think about this. Although Paul does not directly mention that Corinth was a city of great commerce, he alludes to it here. He infers this. But look at what Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's just begin in verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of freely. Now, what does he mean by that? He's saying, I wouldn't take any money from you. That's what he's saying. There were no charge for my services. I did not come to preach to make money. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches. Now, that's a figure of speech. Paul doesn't mean he went over to the collection plate and stole some coin out of that and stuck it in his pocket. That's not what he's talking about. But this is the way Paul felt about it. Paul was not preaching for money. He said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. Paul said, I was supported by other churches. I took support from other churches, so I didn't have to take a dime from you. Let's read on. And when I was present with you and wanted, that is, he had a need, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Now, Corinth had money. It was a city of great commerce, and some people were upset that Paul would not take any money from them. Isn't that an amazing thing to happen for a church and a pastor? Look at it. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Paul said, I'm not going to change my mind about this. And look, as the truth of Christ is in me. Now, when it comes to this thing of money, isn't it a man not just to hammer to people about the real dangers of money and the real benefits of money? No, look at what Paul says. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? For what reason? Because I love you not? God knows. The answer is rhetorical. He does love them. Look, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. But look at what he says now. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. These are those preachers that came along, and they were more than glad to take the Corinthians' money. They were more than glad to take the Corinthians' money. They probably were of that ilk that thought the Corinthians actually owed them some money. Look, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, Paul writes, no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So do you see how that Paul makes it clear that though the city of Corinth was a city of great commerce, and many of the Corinthians no doubt had money, yet Paul wouldn't take a dime from them, we might say. Paul took money from other places to avoid being any kind of burden to these people. Why? Because it's not about money. But what's his answer to this money thing? It's the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is exposing false apostles, false prophets, false preachers, and declaring unto them what? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that Paul alludes to or infers that the city of Corinth was a great city of worldly wisdom. Corinth was probably what we would call today a cosmopolitan city. Cosmopolitan. And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and listen to verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, now look at it, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now, God's not saying man doesn't have some wisdom. Man has a lot of wisdom, but it's worldly wisdom. Now look at what Paul goes on to say. For it is written, this is God speaking, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is this disputer or the arguer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But note here, Paul is saying the preaching of the cross. Not just any kind of preaching, but the preaching of the cross. Why? Because he determined, when he came to Corinth, not to know anything among them, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That doesn't mean Paul never dealt with all kinds of different subjects, but he's saying that all these things fall up under the canopy, the umbrella of the person and work of Christ. He goes on, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness, but unto them which are called, it's called of God. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And man, astounding statement, isn't it? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So you see, Paul is summing up, even great wisdom, that's not what's going to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. The wisdom of this world God holds in contempt as foolishness. What is the wisdom of God? It's the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul either alludes or infers to the fact that Corinth was a city of great fleshly, worldly pleasures. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 if you wish to read along there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to what he says, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now look, he deals with several subjects here. Now does he not? Now look at it. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And look what it says. And such were some of you. You see it? And such were some of you. Yes, Corinth was a city of great commerce. But Paul wasn't concerned about the money. Yes, Corinth was a city of great worldly wisdom. It was cosmopolitan. It was the place to be in that day. And yes, Corinth was a city of great worldly fleshly pleasures. And Paul warns men about these fleshly pleasures. But look at what the answer to it. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are set apart. You're sanctified. But ye are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Take notice. Notice now. If you're still with me, if you've hung in there with me this far, I want you to take notice of this. Christ. Notice that Christ and his cross work is central in all these areas. Christ and his cross work is the answer to all these dilemmas. More bluntly, Christ and his cross work is the only answer for all of our sin and our sins. I know of a few pastors. I know of a few churches, that is, local assemblies. That is, God has his church. Some call it his church universal. That is made up of all the elect of God of all ages, and there's no problem with that. But here he's talking about even a local assembly. This place at Corinth, a place of great commerce, a place of great worldly wisdom, a place of great worldly fleshly pleasures. But Paul here is talking to one church. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I know of a few pastors, a few churches where this is the case, where it is Christ, 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 Christ is the message. Christ, Christ, Christ is the message. Because they understand that it's the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ that is the only message that brings deliverance, salvation to God's people. I know of a place called Central Grace Church in Rocky Mount, Virginia. I live in southern West Virginia. It's probably about maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes away. But maybe there's someone that's hearing me this morning on TV. And you're down near Rocky Mount, Virginia. There's a place called Central Grace Church in Rocky Mount, Virginia, where there's a faithful pastor that preaches Christ, Christ, Christ. There's another one. It's called Zebulun Baptist in Pikeville, Kentucky. And it's a several hours away from southern West Virginia. But still yet, if you're in that area, there's a place you can go and you will hear many, many things dealt with, but you will also hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the sum and subject of all things. There's a place also called Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. Maybe you live a little further north up in West Virginia, but there's a place called Katy Baptist, Fairmont, West Virginia. There's a place called Millsite Baptist Church in Cottageville, West Virginia. That's up in the more about the middle of the state. It's a place where these places are places where men stand and strive to faithfully declare the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sum and substance of all their singing, of all their praying, of all their preaching. There's a place called Dingus Grace Baptist Church in Dingus, West Virginia, down in the coal fields of West Virginia, a place where a man attempts to faithfully preach the gospel of Christ. And that's just to name a few that's within just a few hours' drive of southern West Virginia. I got another question. If you stuck with me this long, I got a question. Has God given you a belly full of self-centered, egotistical, professed Christian religion? Has he? Now maybe he hasn't. Maybe there's someone listening to me, maybe he hasn't. Maybe what I'm saying to you offends you. But Paul was clear that that's what happens sometimes. When a man or a woman's heart's not been made right by God, they get upset with a man who tries to preach the truth of the person and work of Christ. But if God's given you a belly full of this self-centered, egotistical, professed Christianity, I ask you this question. Do you truly care about the danger of the corruption you see in yourself? Has God showed you how bad you really are down inside? Oh, I know. If you're like me, we put on a good facade for people. I do that, and you do that too. But God knows our hearts. God knows where we're really at. God knows where we're coming from, as we say. Do you truly care about the danger or the corruption you see in yourself? Here's a question. Does your sin and your sins burden your heart, mind, and soul? Well, let me try to stop for just a moment. I'll try to be brief, but let me try to explain to you what I'm saying here, because I'm not saying the same thing. I'm not talking about one sin as compared to many sins. I'm saying, does your sin, that is what you are, what I am deep down inside, that my heart is desperately wicked above all things, and God's given me even just a little glimpse, and I hate myself. I hate not just what I do, but I hate what I am. And that's what I'm talking about. Do you see your sin and your sins, the things that flow out of that wicked heart, the things that we do out here on the outside because of this rotten fountain that's down on the inside? Does your sin and your sins burden your heart, your mind, and your soul? Do you understand that the corrupt fountain, at least in some degree, none of us understand it yet as we ought to understand it, but God gives his people some understanding of how bad we really are, and that the bad things that we do flow from our badness. Seek Christ. Seek the Christ of God. Seek out a gospel preaching assembly. Look for a place that is has a man or men, for that matter. That's not the point. One man or many men, doesn't matter. But seek out a place where a man or men are trying to tell men and women the truth about what they really are by nature. I know it doesn't feel good. I know it doesn't make us leave this place feeling great about ourselves. But we are desperately wicked. One prophet put it this way. We are wounds and bruises and putrefying, that's rotting, stinking sores, and we are that from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Seek out a place that preaches Christ. Seek out a gospel preaching assembly. And I say this, for the sake of your spiritual sanity, if you know you're bad, a halfway message about Jesus Christ ain't gonna do it. It ain't gonna do it for you. That's why if God's really shown you what you are, that's why if you're in a church that's not preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's why. I'm telling me, I know, I've been there. That's why you're so miserable. That's why there doesn't seem to be any peace to your soul. For your sake, the sake of your spiritual sanity, abandon. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Abandon the man-centered, free will worship of modern day professed Christianity. I said, abandon it. Get out of it. Find a place that has a man preaching the truth about man and the truth about the person and work of Jesus Christ. May God strengthen you in this necessity. Now, one more passage. I'm still in the Corinthian epistles. And if you're still following along, if you're still with me, if you're still interested in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're still interested in that message that Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you. I don't care how much worldly wisdom you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care the great fleshly pleasures that you've engaged yourself in. There is hope in Jesus Christ. But it's only in the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I will, for the sake of time, I have to move along. But so we will look at verse 11. Start there, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, still talking to these Corinthians. Remember, cosmopolitan city. Great worldly wisdom, great commerce, great fleshly pleasures were there. And he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Now that's in the English from the Greek. Paul is saying, you're deep down in our souls. We really care about you from the deep down inside. Look at, you're not straightened in us. but you're straitened in your own bowels. There were people who were angry with Paul, but look at what he says. For now, for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that are filled and run by unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, do you see that? Next word. You see it? Are you reading along with me? Wherefore, look at what it says. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It doesn't matter whether it's the uncleanness of immorality or it's the uncleanness of false, professed Christian religion. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But don't stop there. Remember, these chapter divisions and verse divisions were put there to help us find passages in the Bible. Paul didn't write chapter 1, chapter 2. This is one letter written to a local assembly. Look at it. Saith the Lord Almighty, verse 18, the next words are, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. Receive us. And let me tell you something. You believe God's gospel, you're going to receive those God sent to preach that gospel. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all your tribulation. Seek out a place that preaches Christ. Seek out a place that Christ is, the message of Christ preached is the preeminent thing. I pray God Almighty might move upon your heart this morning, even this very morning. I want to remind you on the same station, WVVACW, at 12 noon every Lord's Day, every Sunday, you can find a portion of our Lord's Day Sunday messages recorded and televised.